Okay, I'll call the meeting of the Great River Regional Library Board to order. We're 4 minutes past due. We had a long financial deal. We'll look for adoption of the amendment of the agenda. Anything to add, Karen?
Nope.
So moved.
Moved by Randy.
Second.
Seconded by George. Any discussion? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approval of the minutes. They were emailed or sent to you in a packet?
The packet.
They're in the packet. Okay. Page 2.
Make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I'll second. Second.
Seconded by Jane. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Open forum. We have 5 people that signed up for open forum. As a reminder, it's 2 minutes per person, and we will keep a pretty close clock on that because we're running late already. We have several things to discuss tonight. Fox Watson is first. You can come up to the mic.
I know that you guys will be talking tonight about the request for reconsideration
process,
and I just want to read to you before you approve that from the American Library Association's Library Bill of Rights. The first item says books and other library resources should be provided for the interest, information, and enlightenment of all people of the community that the library serves. Number 2 says libraries should provide materials and information presenting all points of view on current and historical issues. Materials should not be prescribed or removed because of partisan or doctrinal disapproval. Number 3 says libraries should challenge censorship in the fulfillment of their responsibility to provide information and enlightenment. Now, I am a member of this community. I am a citizen of the United States. I'm a resident of St. Cloud. I'm a patron of this library. And I'm a member of the LGBT community. I know that there are a lot of people with signs that like to tell you that you shouldn't be stocking books that represent me and people like me, but I am a part of this community. I have as many rights as anybody else does, and it is the responsibility of the library to provide materials that represent me, and that applies to adult materials, it applies to children's materials, and it applies to materials for everyone, because this library is for everyone, and I am a part of that. And I hope that that will be reflected in the policy that you choose to adopt today. Thank you.
Okay. Mary Kay Huber? Hubie?
Mooney.
Can you state your name and address when you get up here because you didn't fill it in?
Okay.
Mary Kay Hooney, 9850 Jenny Lane, St. Joseph. The American Library Association constantly makes reference to book banning. Let's be clear, we want the book removed. ALA teaches librarians to use the First Amendment against us. Removing books has nothing to do with the First Amendment. Anyone can still access the books, for example, e-books. Another talking point ALA pushes is we need to look at the book as a whole. If there was a skunk in a wall of a house, it would contaminate the whole house. I also want to point out that ALA refusal to protect children from viewing or accessing hardcore pornography on library computers is why the National Center of Sexual Exploitation put the ALA on their annual Dirty Dozen list from 2013 to 2017. The American Library Association is an open Marxist organization. Several state library associations are leaving the national organization. It is time for Great River Regional Library to formally cut ties with the American Library Association. We, the people, deserve better.
Sandy Clocker.
Sandy Clocker, A Voice for the Children. St. Cloud Live News just released the article War on Words, and the online caption reads, St. Cloud Library, we vote to change to ban book policies. The word ban is used four times. The library administration has the responsibility to be honest, transparent, and accountable. The fact is we've never used the word or asked to ban any books. Moving a book is not banning. The article is inconclusive and did not paint a true picture of our requests. It made no reference to what our community standards are and why that is relative to Supreme Court cases, how pornography causes psychological damage to children, and where now one in three teenage girls contemplate suicide. Nothing is stated about the World Economic Forum's push to change the sexual content age to 12 years old. There is no mention of Violation 5 in the Minnesota statute or the U.S. Code 18 on obscenity. Grooming through pornography is an addiction that leads to violence. There's no mention of the sex chat site room that's in the children's computer, which administration has been aware of and made aware of several times. Or the library's six counties that annually pay $5-plus million in taxpayer funds. To paint a true representation, the article could have posted.
You could just hold it if you wanted.
Oh, I'm going to do this. Could have posted this picture of genderqueer where the young man has another man's person's penis in his mouth. Jamie states this is nudity, not pornography. It's perfectly normal, has today four copies of the in the juvenile section, which is recommended for ages 10 and up, and it has content that refers to anal sex, masturbation, and intercourse. None of these facts are stated in the article, but that they are in cartoon format and practices safety. If this is too graphic to put into public print, then why is it even in the library? Thank you.
Kathy Parsons.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today, and I wanted to start with a thank you. Nobody joins the library board for the honors and thrills that it gets. No awards are given. So I appreciate the work that you do and how difficult it has been, more so in recent years. I also want to thank the library staff, and I'd be happy that you share that with them. They've been nothing but professional in trying to deal with a lot of the different things that have happened, so I thank you for that. I also want to support the concept. I know you worked on the policy, and you'll be voting on it today, to how to clarify how to handle requests, and I think that that's the first step in everything. I would equally say, however, that I would hope that you would continue to really pay attention to the fact that we can't have one small group deciding what everybody should read. Every family should decide for themselves what fits with their values, and parents should be involved in those decisions. I would also say I understand, I see the signs in the back, God's children are not for sale. I would also say that probably nobody who supports the process that we use now would suggest that they should be, that is not the purpose. And it's a pretty slippery slope when you start to say, well, this can't be in there. Well, what about the true crime section? What about other sections that can lead people to whatever they might do? I don't know of any time in any court case where anybody said, well, it all started in the public library. That's just not where that happens. You talked earlier in the Finance Committee. These might be the place where a lot of things start, but it's not in the children's section of the public library or in the adult section. Thank you.
Here you go, Chris.
Okay, I had a grand plan, and then Kathy stole my idea. But I just wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you, because I know it's hard to be here when you could be at home relaxing with your families. But you show up and you put in the effort, and it means the world to staff, to library patrons. I mean, the library is for everyone. And that was squeaky. And it's very tumultuous right now. It's very divisive. But you guys are still here no matter what. And on behalf of library staff and very avid patrons, thank you very much. We're grateful to have you guys.
Thank everybody that had comment tonight. That concludes our list for tonight. We did not have to pick and choose. So, moving on, we'll move on to number five, financials, 5.1. Do you wish to do 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3, or do you want to, let's take them individually, huh? All right, 5.1, the bills, they were emailed. Request approval.
I'll move approval, Mr. Chair.
And a second. Mary second.
Okay. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Mary. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Financial report, same thing. Request action.
Make a motion to approve the financial report.
Wayne made the motion. Mary, second it?
I'll second, and then I have a question.
All right, so we got a motion and a second. And is there any discussion? Go ahead, Mary.
So what do we do about, I know that some of these expired last month.
The CDs?
CDs, yep. We had discussion in the finance.
We'll have the discussion when the finance goes.
All right. Well, so we're still talking about China.
That one hasn't expired yet.
Oh, I thought it was June.
It might have, but I'm sure we did not buy Bank of China. I'm 100% sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'll wait.
Hearing none, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Current letter of credit. On page 9. Amy left.
Yeah, she went home.
That's
just the normal letter of credit that we have.
You are here. I thought you said call.
Maybe you know what we invested instead of Bank of China.
We did not renew with the Bank of China. I can pull it out, Mary, but I can show you later. The letter of credit designation is something that gets updated by Bremer Bank, and what that is that's their additional assets that they pledge for us so we can keep a higher balance in the checking and the CD there that exceed that FDIC limit of $250,000.
Thanks for reminding me. I think that's happened every year since I've been on the board, right?
And it actually happens multiple times. So. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion to accept the letter.
Jane makes the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Melissa. Any other discussion on it? Any other questions as long as we got Amy at the table? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Consent agenda. Requested action.
There wasn't anything this month.
We don't need that then, Mary?
No.
Okay.
No.
Communications.
We included the Legacy Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund interim progress report just as an information piece. It's something that doesn't require board approval, but it's a nice summary of the activities that happened with Legacy funding for fiscal year 22. So we wanted to include that for you.
Okay. Very impressive.
There's a lot that happens with those funds. It takes a lot of people to make that happen.
How about the Minnesota Library Association 2024 legislative priorities?
So this was approved at the Minnesota Library Association conference in October. These will be the legislative priorities that go into that the lobbyists will be moving forward on behalf of MLA and libraries across the state going into the next session. There is active conversations with Senator Kunesh currently about the bonding bill in particular, but there's a lot of other things that are potentially coming up. So this is something that will be moving forward at the state level for state priorities.
Okay. Remind me, Karen, do we have a, does the library, the state library have a lobbyist that they hire?
The Minnesota Library Association has a lobbyist that they hire, and then there are multiple entities that help support that.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Okay. Anything else?
Not on the legislative priorities. All right,
note that ebooks and e-audio.
Thank you for calling that out.
Under expanding broadband and digital equity for all Minnesotans, you had asked about the legislative component of ebooks and e-audio. Yep. It is on the platform included as point number 3 of that 4th priority. I just wanted to call that out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Brianne's ready. Brianne will be doing the presentation if we're ready to go there.
On the year-end campaign?
Yep.
Okay.
You want to maybe move the mic? So this is part of our staff presentation cycle, Brianne's goals around the fund development plan and something we've talked about a little bit at the fund development committee. So this is a conversation about the year-end campaign and then also how planned giving is structured at Great River and what the results we've seen so far. And if you want, you can probably hit 5 on the light. I didn't turn it on.
Oh,
you need to.
Have it on?
Yeah. Yep. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Brianne Fruth. I'm the Communications and Development Coordinator here at Great River Regional Library, for those who don't know me. And what we are covering today is our fundraising here for the library. In particular, we are covering our year-end campaign, along with our planned giving efforts. I will be, if you will take one and pass it down, please. What is being passed around is our snapshot of where we are at fundraising as of the end of October, and this features each of our areas of fundraising. Also on the screen, you will see our fundraising goals that we have set out through our fundraising plan for this year in regards to major donors, which covers all of our campaigns, our year-end campaign, which is happening currently, that benefits the region or system as a whole. Locally Grown, which is our March fundraiser that benefits each local branch, in which they select an item or a wish based on their unique community interests and needs. Our summer reading program sponsorships, in which we seek sponsors from local businesses and organizations. Planned giving, which is, of course, hard to have as a goal. However, we seek to solidify or better understand donors' intent, and then also our grants. And so the snapshot that you were given also gives you an idea of where we are currently at. However, within that snapshot, our year-end campaign is our largest campaign of the year. And this year, our goal is $90,000. One thing that we have included in our fundraising efforts is planned giving. And so what is a planned gift? It's kind of a buzzword per se, but it is a charitable donation that financially benefits both the donor and the institution receiving the gift. So planned gifts include outright gifts, bequests such as wills, life insurance, designations, retirement plans, such as your IRA or 401k, and also charitable trusts. And what is so important in plan gifts is this is what helps the future of the library. Plan gifts ensure the important work of the library continues for education for generations. The board also sees firsthand the impact that giving makes on the library system and the community. And it really does keep the library a resource for the community in years to come. Since we have started highlighting planned giving, we have seen an influx in the last few years. And in particular, I wanted to draw your attention to some that are large and current. So, for instance, each of these gifts, we don't necessarily know their intent sometimes, but many of these donors left the library in their will and designated towards a certain branch. And so for many of these donors that we don't know their intent besides the branch, we have started a new process with the Fund Development Committee so that we are best stewards of their generosity. So project proposals will be approved by the Fund Development Committee. Again, just making sure that we are honoring those gifts appropriately. So for instance, our Carlson Fund was supposed to be over a 20-year term, but ended up being received as a lump sum, which we recently received towards Elk River for $216,842. Charlotte West Anderson, we received $60,000 towards St. Cloud, and Dan Christensen gave in memory of late Great River Regional Library Deputy Director Pat Christensen towards Pat's Place as well. Rasmussen has $23,000 towards Buffalo. And then Shirley Burr designated the Sox Center St. Clair Lewis Library for just under $13,000. And so these are very substantial gifts that are people's estate planning, and something that is really exciting for these branches as well. And so both for people interested in leaving their... those who want to leave the library in their will or leave them in some type of estate planning, we do have a statement of intent. And so if you already have the library a part of your plans, we do have a form that is wonderful. That way we can acknowledge the donor while they are currently with us and before they pass, and also better understand what their intent was, what they were passionate about the library for. And so this is something very exciting that is new to the library as we continue to see these big, generous gifts come through. And it is truly exciting to see how passionate people are about their local library. And so I also wanted to touch base on our year-end campaign. And what we are focusing on this year is, although the materials and programs have changed over the years to meet the unique needs of Central Minnesota, the heart of the library remains the same, that we improve the culture of literacy. And at our core, we seek to increase literacy skills and reading amongst community members. And as we offer proudly nearly 1 million items for the community to browse and a dedicated library staff to get those items of interest into library cardholders' hands, we connect people to the materials and resources they need or desire, resulting in increased reading. And so the year-end campaign, as I had mentioned, is going on currently. It started back in October and goes through the end of the year, actually towards the end of January. And it covers and supports the region as a whole. Some of the things that year-end campaign goes towards are things in our collection, such as Lucky Day and book club kits. And so things that are new, innovative, that we are able to pilot or expand based on patron interests and being able to best serve the changing climate of our communities. Another way that we have used our year-end campaign funds as well is expanding our digital collection, such as Libby and Hoopla. And also we have implemented our Beanstack app, which has been really big, and our winter reading program and summer reading program, so that patrons and library users are able to track their reading log time, receive book recommendations, and more. And so it really does benefit the whole system, and this is our one unique opportunity or fundraiser that focuses on these big projects that can help the all branches. And so that is just a little bit of fundraising for the library, but I do ask you to also consider the library in your year-end giving. Board members should have received a letter in the mail. And then also consider it in your estate planning as well. It is an actually alarming number how many Americans in general don't have a will. And so even I encourage you to create a will for your family and for yourselves, because that is really important to know where your treasures are going. As well have our statement of intent forms. If you do happen to have the library part of your estate planning, and if you do want to give to the year-end campaign, I do have forms as well that you can see me after the meeting. Thank you.
Would you take any questions?
Oh, yes, questions.
Okay, anybody got any questions?
I have a question, Brianna. So, you know, I've been to Pat's place. It's really nice, kind of know the story behind it. With the other legacy funds that we have, is the library's intent to honor the person who gave them by, you know, putting something in their name, or what is the thought behind that? What is the thought process there?
With the other planned gifts?
Yes.
I think Pat's place is unique as it was created during the new building process, if that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it is a very new question, and I think that we would love to discuss that further in our fund development
committee. Yeah, we've talked about creating signage, yes. But I think one of the challenges is we don't always know the donor intent. And they're not around to ask by the time the planned gift has landed. And particularly the largest one, that was the one that we had the lawsuit about, so we learned a lot about that person after the fact. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that she was necessarily looking for recognition. And so there's a tension between us wanting to acknowledge and be really generous with that acknowledgement and then people's desire for privacy. And we're still trying to figure out what that's supposed to look like. So,
Thanks for the presentation. And Zuri and I are, and Lee are on the development committee.
Yes.
And others. I really, the letter of intent, I think, is really good because of the situation that we've been in. So with not the family not thinking that it was legit that once this person passed away. And so if you don't share that with your next of kin, they thought, she never went to the library. Is this real? So it ended up in quite the ordeal. So the letter of intent really will help get at least another signature on for this person. And then I want to put a plug in for the board donation. It doesn't matter how much. We just love to get over 50% participation. We are under 100%. Well, we'd love 100% participation, but we're under 50%, correct?
Where are we at today? Do you remember?
I thought we were at like...
I would have to look.
Yeah, well, today...
The stacks are coming through the mail and accounting is going as fast as it can.
But last year, I don't think we did. We didn't hit 50%. Yeah. So even
did
if it's not? $5... Oh.
We didn't hit 100 last year. Maybe it was 70, somewhere in the 70s. Patty just said she thought it was 86%. I don't remember. Maybe I'm thinking of another nonprofit board I serve on. I'm sorry to throw shade on all of you.
That's fabulous.
No,
good job. Let's get it to 100 this year.
Yeah, 100. This is the board to do it.
Yes. Let's do it. This is the year to do it, even if it's a buck.
Yeah.
It's really important for donors to see that. So,
I can send something out too, and just let.
When you do the update,
I can keep the board posted on how that's looking too.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? Thank you very much. That was. Mm-hmm. Staff reports. Executive director. It's on page 25. You got something to say, Karen?
I can say there's been a monumental task at hand in terms of our HR transition. So I wrote about it a little bit here, but I want to give a lot of credit to Amy Anderson, Patty Letzko, Aaron Mallow, Tracy Dullinger, who's been with us for like a month. We managed to pull off open enrollment last week, even though Ryan's last day was a couple of weeks ago. So everybody's been stepping up, and we're doing the best we can to keep things moving. We do have someone hired. She'll be starting mid-December. And Ryan's been filling in. But just know that if you're getting a slow response or kind of wondering what's going on because there's radio silence, it's probably because we're just trying to keep the balls in the air right now. Because HR generally has two and... Tracy's their third staff member who started in October. The HR generalist is on leave of absence, and Ryan is no longer employed as a full-time HR director. So just HR has become the priority and probably will be at least until we get the new HR person trained. So, so yeah, that's the big thing.
Management report?
I don't think there was anything new that wasn't already in here. Everyone did a really nice job of putting things together. Ryan even had a report before he left, so you do have the full highlights from what's going on around the region. You know, the open enrollment, we did change carriers, so that was a bit of a bump, but we were really excited because Blue Cross Blue Shield came in with, I think it was something like a 17% reduction in premium. So that was a lot of work last year to change benefits, but it was definitely worth it. And all staff day, thanks to Ed for stepping up. I had a family funeral that day, so I wasn't able to be here. Thanks to Brianne for presenting and Jamie and her staff. filling in for her all the places I wasn't there. I, from all reports, it was a really amazing day, and I'm glad that we're able to do that once a year just to pull everybody together.
Karen, I really appreciated that you had some training on de-escalation and security issues. I think that needs to continue to be on the forefront in a public institution like this.
Mm-hmm. St. Cloud Police are extremely generous with their time. Whenever we ask them to come and do that training, they come again. And they always tailor it to the demands at the time, which has been changing. And they're really good about answering questions. So mm-hmm. we're fortunate to have that resource.
And building reports?
I don't think there's anything new. Oh, there's parking lot lights. I don't know if you noticed that. When you go outside, it's almost like daylight compared to the last time you were here. So credit to the city of St. Cloud for actually making that happen. That being said, you'll notice that some of the lights in the building are still not functional. There's still discussions going on about how that project is going to unfold. So they're aware of the issues. But just last week, we ended up closing the children's room for part of the time because we blew a breaker and had no lights in that space. So it's an ongoing issue. It's a known issue. Part of the reason it took so long to do the parking lot is the lights were on back order. So even once we have a definite path forward, I think it's going to take a little bit to get that done. So, I don't think there was anything new on the other buildings. But Hard Lake's trucking along. There's been a lot of oddball things happening, too. Yeah.
Okay. Third quarter. Strategic plan objectives and key results.
Yep. So this is end of third quarter, so September. We've had a couple months that have gone past, but because of the way the board meeting dates fall, this comes to you a little later. You can see we're still seeing some growth in total borrowers, which is fantastic. We are now over that 90,000 mark, so climbing back out of that pandemic slump. If you go to the next page, on page 40, we were a little surprised to see that the new borrower growth wasn't quite as strong as, I mean, it was more than last year, but not at the pace it was going. So what we're not sure is if that's a third quarter thing because of the way the dates fell or weather or a new trend. But we are seeing growth continue with people coming back to the library. And then on page 43 is probably the most interesting of the circulation stats because these are cumulative stats. Overdrive, we talked about earlier, 27% growth over last year. That's on the bottom of the page. You can see some libraries are seeing really strong growth. You know, but what's a little deceiving is the percentages. So like Swanville, 46% growth, but we're talking about 2,000 books, so it's probably like one family moved into town or something. What's more remarkable, though, is the fact that Buffalo and Elk River are finally seeing increases. It's been a long time since those bigger libraries saw growth. They're not at the pace that St. Michael is, but they are recovering, so it'll be really interesting to see where those three libraries are a year from now, if that trend continues. And then strategic plan updates are on the next page. You can see our key metrics that we've aligned with our strategic plan objectives and how that compares month to month and quarter versus the baseline. You know, we're hitting the marks, but as Jamie mentioned at the finance committee, like the digital library is just growing faster and is in more demand than any other service that we're offering. So it's causing us to question where are the resources best spent? Are we staffed the way we need to be staffed? And we have some openings in her department where we're exploring that before filling some of the positions. So just know that all of this kind of feeds into the decision-making as we go forward. On page 46, you can see where our board giving rate was last year. So there's your 86%. Not sure if that was all campaigns or if that was year-end campaign, but as of the end of September, we were only at 26%, but the year-end campaign had not yet begun. So we're hoping to hit 100%. That's always a goal. And then you can see the number of people attending training and then how the financial investments are performing, which is also where we're seeing a lot of that surplus revenue right now. There's no way we could have anticipated that growth was going to be as fast as it was, but it was staggering those CD expiration terms to capture the growth in interest rates that really helped us launch. Any questions about the strategic plan and statistical reports?
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Sure.
Karen, can you give us some feedback about, we had discussed the Youth Advisory Council and the process of making that the last time we had met, and so we were in the process of doing it. Can you give us some feedback on that?
Yes. So we posted it, and we weren't really sure if we were going to get six kids. We had 25 applicants. So that was an interesting response. It was really strong response. There was only one county not represented, which is Todd. So that's something we could do better. But we did get a couple of people from Morrison, so we kind of felt like at least we had rural representation. We are going to limit the total to 12 just because we're going to start with a virtual environment. And since it's new, we wanted to make sure that this was a good experience. One of the challenges was is our HR generalist, this was a project she was going to help with, and she's out on leave. So we've been moving a little slower than I had hoped, but we have notified everybody who is on the youth council and are in the process of scheduling a meeting in the first week of December. So it is moving forward much better than I would have even anticipated. We'll see how it continues to grow, but a lot of really diverse. We've got kids who are Somali, we've got kids who are homeschoolers, we've got kids from Royalton, we've got kids from St. Michael. Like, it was a really great cross-section. So thanks to everybody who helped get the word out.
Good.
And did we incentivize for them to do the council? Did we decide on something regarding
their reimbursement
that?
Will be the same as what the Board of Trustees get. So if they attend, it's $75 per diem or mileage reimbursement. Since most of the meetings will be virtual, I anticipate it'll mostly be per diem rates. But, yeah, we're in a really good spot.
Thank you.
The young ladies from Buffalo were really excited that they were selected. So
there were a lot of people from Buffalo. So
the competition was
The competition was really strong in Buffalo and St. Michael as well.
Anything else?
Sartell's, did you have a good representation? I know some kids.
I can't remember if we actually ended up with Sartell. I know we had a couple from St. Cloud. I was surprised at the quantity of responses of Wright County versus Stearns, just because numbers of people in the school district, but yeah.
And it's diverse.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
That is the best.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Staff recognition, Karen? It's on page 47.
Yeah. You know, we have some really great people, and I think you'll see this also in the staff engagement survey piece. There's a lot of people that stay a long time here, and we are really fortunate to have staff with that type of longevity. I mean, every report, we've got people who are here 10 years or more, so I'm grateful to all of those people who continue to show up every day.
Mr. Chair, just like say that Amy is on for 3 years.
Yes, Amy is celebrating her third
year. But
yeah.
I have to think.
No, not me.
Yes.
Brandy has been here for 10 years. Is that the same Brandy that I'm thinking of, or is that a different Brandy?
Nope, that's a different Brandy. Yeah, Brandy's going to probably hit 25 here pretty quick.
Employee engagement and internal communication survey.
So this is a survey when I started as director, and a few of you remember this, but not very many. We did every year because when we started, morale was definitely a challenge. And we haven't done it since 2019, but there was a sense midsummer that things were just not quite what they used to be at Great River. And I wanted to get a picture of whether things had really shifted that much. I was pleasantly surprised at the results, just given the number of things that have happened this year. It's been a very challenging year on a lot of levels. We had a great response rate. Most people are really satisfied with communication. If you look at things like do I get the information I need to do my job effectively on page 52? We definitely have people who are agreeing with that. So I think communication is pretty solid. What we've learned is supervisors are probably our best source of communication, so making sure our supervisors have the right information and are consistently relaying that to staff is something we're going to be emphasizing in the next couple of months. I also have a number of staff members who at the end of the survey said, put their name. It was an option, and of those people who put their name at the end of the survey, we'll be pulling together a focus group to talk about survey results. In terms of employee engagement, this is something where Great River has always shown. Like, when you consider that at least half the staff are making probably $15 an hour or less, and more than half are part-time, the fact that people are satisfied with their culture of their workplace, are here to give their best effort every day, you know, we couldn't ask for a more dedicated organization. We clearly have areas where we can grow. But what I wasn't able to do, because SurveyMonkey has changed their tools, was actually pull these surveys results together year over year, or benchmark over benchmark. If you go to the last page on, let's see, 65. You can see the benchmarks. I put them in the table. Great River exceeds benchmarks in all but two areas that were benchmarked within SurveyMonkey, and by quite a large amount. So satisfaction of culture, communication with senior leaders was one that we could have probably done a little better, but is still in a better spot than it was when we were doing this survey years ago and had some major issues. That being said, I think part of the issue we talked about at LST with this is the number of new employees we've had over the last 3 years and our inability to actually have face-to-face contact with those people. So making sure that we're getting out into the branches. We used to bring everybody here on day one in person. We stopped doing that. So we've lost some of that connection, and making sure that we're getting people to understand how they fit with the bigger whole was something that was a takeaway as we talked about this at LST. The other one where we did not exceed was senior management and employees trust each other. This has been the area we've always struggled with the most. The part that's grown is the neither column of that graph. So it's not that people distrust, but it's not that they would answer it that I trust. And I think, again, we can invest in getting to know each other again now that it's possible to be out and about once we are fully staffed and have that capacity again, too. So I was really happy with the results. It gave us some areas to grow and expand. And the major concern I had with this was those people who answered strongly disagree or disagree around having a good working relationship with their supervisor. So we'll be looking into how we can make sure that those supervisors get the tools that they need to develop the relationships with their staff.
Anything else?
No, I'm happy to answer any questions if you want more background on it.
Karen, how often do you think you should do this?
We had stopped doing it because the results had stopped changing. And then the pandemic hit. So assuming we have the capacity to do it, I would not be opposed to doing it again next summer and getting back to an annual basis, especially with a new HR director. The person that we're hiring specifically asked questions about culture. I think this is an area she's going to be really interested in digging into herself. So I would want to defer to her vision for HR at Great River as she gets acclimated to the organization.
Anybody else?
Mr. Chair, go ahead, Mary.
Go ahead, Mary.
You think more face-to-face would be helpful, more important?
A lot of the comments that had feedback on communication had to do with numbers of meetings happening consistently, employees getting the same information from their supervisor, so finding ways to make sure that happens is something
so
we'll
more
need to do.
Outreach to the branches.
Yeah,
would be my thought.
Yeah. Well, and we included, I didn't include it in all the questions in here because it would have made this packet that much longer. But there was a question that said, how do you prefer to give feedback? And virtual meetings was at the, like, at the bottom. So virtual is not what people want. The other thing we learned is we had started a tool called the staff suggestion box when we first started. And it was like this anonymous form that you filled in and then you just sent the suggestion in and then we would assign it to somebody and they would do it. And we have an archive of all the things we did, but that's one of, I think that was dead last in terms of what people want to do in terms of providing feedback now. So we'll probably archive that tool as maybe it's time to put it back in the toolbox and leave it there for a while, you know?
Well, and I think people don't believe that anybody looks at that.
Yeah, and sometimes
if you see some results.
Right. But I think back then too, people didn't know who to go to. Mm-hmm. And generally now the stuff that goes there is things that have been asked and answered, but you didn't like the answer. So maybe if you go in the suggestion box, somebody else will get the question. And that's not as productive or, I don't know, it just doesn't feel good for anybody because you get an impossible question to answer. There's not much you can do about it. That's frustrating too.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm just glad you do it. I think it's important to ask staff these questions. We've done this in our county for the last few years, but then I also think it's important for them to see some adjustments,
mm-hmm.
you know, in places that you're not. It was clear to us that our staff, which is large, wasn't seeing administration very much or board members. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have almost 800 staff members. How do they see a board member? So we have really put some effort into what we call County Connect meetings twice a year, and we're in the building all over the place, and people are loving it. So, I mean, not everyone loves it. But
my kids, some people love it.
Okay, not everyone loves it, but they appreciate it. They appreciate seeing us out of the boardroom, you know, more. So,
I think
it's
really
great.
Important.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So, thanks for doing it.
Anybody else want to comment? Otherwise, we're going to move on to the Financial Committee report.
All right, I'll just try to make it quick as I can here, Chair. Mr. Chair, we had a projected 630-some thousand surplus for the 2023 budget, so we decided to move 350,000 to the, how I call it, the general fund. And then we designated some other money to go to the Eagle Bend Library for a remodel. We designated some money to go to Howard Lake for the new library. We have a remodel and a new library, but that didn't come out of that fund. That came out of the fund development. I think it was 150-some thousand.
Branch development.
So that one. So again, that's money for using for that, and we've given money to other libraries for that also. Going through the interest rates, the magic fund, I think it is around a little over 5%, so that's why we're doing very well there. And then we also approved up to $25,000 to a comp and cost study for the library, because that hasn't been done for many years. So that'll be something I think is up to $25,000. And then there's also a request digital. Again, it was brought up by one of the staff members that that's becoming very popular. And the request was $100,000. We approved for $50,000. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts.
Hey, Karen, the one piece, the $350,000, was put into the 2025 budget.
Right. Yep. So it will reduce county signatory contribution.
Right. Okay, and that's just the verbal. We don't need a motion on that. Personnel Committee?
Oh, no, you do need
it. We need
it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You want to make that a motion?
I'll make that a motion.
Oh, so we missed that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mariel, second.
What are we approving?
Finance.
What he just talked about,
my finance report.
So we're spending the surplus.
No, we're not even spending.
Some of it.
Pushing it to 2020.
We spent $350,000. We're putting in the 2025 budget.
Back into.
So just in case we need it. So that'd be not spent. That's just there in case we do need to spend it.
Yes.
And then out of the other money, we put. Well, actually, we're going to probably put more because the request was $100,000
right.
for 50. Digital, we approved 50. So now that, I know that, I'm assuming that other 50 will go into...
It just goes into cash reserves.
Yeah, so it goes into cash reserves. And then...
The class and comp
was $25,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And then extended access.
$8,000.
Yeah. Everything they're saying. Like, mm-hmm.
More. Really good stuff.
We didn't spend it all, but you know what? We spent it wisely.
Good. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions before I call the question? Okay. And a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks, Randy, for your getting that all done. Personnel?
Mr. Chair, the Personnel Committee met on last Tuesday, November 14th. We had three items. We accepted revisions to the custodial position description. We approved a personnel policy revision for earned sick and safe time. This included for substitutes, paid time off, and leaves of absence. And our biggest task was to our closed session on the performance review for Karen Punsack, Executive Director of Great River Regional Library. It was a closed meeting. Karen was reviewed on six performance areas, including strategic planning, organizational communication, community leadership, relationship with the Board of Trustees, management of human resources, and financial management. If anyone has questions, you can ask about any of those areas, and I do have a description. Feedback from the board members and Karen's direct reports was used to complete the performance review. Based on the feedback received, Karen exceeded requirements in all areas of the review.
Thank you.
I would like to move to accept.
I'll second that.
Jane, second it. Any other questions of Melissa? Sorry, I couldn't be there. I was tied up in something else. Otherwise, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Central Minnesota Library Exchange.
So I'd like to give that report if I can, Mr.
Yes.
Chair. I'd like to say that our full board meeting will be in December. Things are going great with our interim executive director. We're going to start reviewing the grant applications. Our home in the Cambridge Library is still going very well, but that will be up June 1st, I believe. We're going to have make a decision where to move. So more to come in the 2024 about the move. We do have a new board member from the Mille Lacs school area. She'll be at our next meeting. And other than that, we did choose our board that I'm the chair, Karen is the vice chair, and Lynn so graciously accepted the secretary position. So three out of four of the board, executive board, are on this side of the table.
Can't say that Great River doesn't support female leaders.
So that's all I have until next month. And then Melissa can come talk to us maybe next in 2024.
Oh, yeah. Can we slot her in? Maybe February. Let's not do January. We'll have new board members.
Or maybe March, because then we're going to have some ideas. February, March.
Yeah.
That's right. That's work session. Full board, right? Just weather's kind of dangerous.
You want to move for adoption of that report?
I'd like to make
Mr. Chair, can I just ask a question?
Let's do a second first. Sorry. So I'll look for a second.
I'll do the second.
Okay. Sorry, does the second. Now we can have questions.
Go ahead. When you talked about the grants, is that the mini grants that you were previously doing?
Yes.
And what money did you decide on?
We got an extra $100,000 to go, and that's going to be going for education for library people. So a lot of that is kind of slotted that way. Melissa's working with all the other multi-types to figure out a plan, how we're going to give that out. We still don't know, but we're going to be doing the mini grants. I think we're looking at $300 at this time, $300 to $500 for the mini grants, and we're not sure how much money, but we do have quite an excess because we haven't spent anything for about 2 years.
Okay.
So, good question. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just want to thank Jane, Lynn, and Karen for your leadership on that, and this is like the most pleasant report we've had.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for steering that ship.
Yes, we were in the trenches for quite a while.
And we don't want you to be homeless next June.
Yes. Either. Well, it's very pleasant.
Well,
so
I want them to stay in Cambridge. I don't want them to land here.
But most of our population is still here. So
yeah,
I know.
Was the proposal to move to St. Cloud State totally finished with, or is that still an option?
I don't know where we landed. Yeah, it was pulled at the last minute. And so it wasn't an option when we had to make a decision.
We have more control of who we hire and don't hire if we're not in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Yes.
Karen had some wonderful ideas about a place called Resources and Solutions.
Yeah, Resources and Solutions.
That
yeah.
We, might still
we
be
wanted to
at.
Get done with the audit first before
okay.
we started.
And the audit is done, finally. We haven't got the report. But now there's some kind of new audit they're talking about or something that somebody wanted some information, so... There's always something burning there, but
okay.
It's very calm right now, just smoldering.
Resource would be an excellent
location. So we
made
it out of the perfect storm,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Yeah, Good job. We're in the home.
And
spot.
I jumped ship right back. I was like,
I think a lot of people that ran and jumped ship.
Julia, you could probably go around the table of the number of people that were on
I think there's more Great River Board members who have been on the committee than not.
Gone by the wayside. Right?
I just want to go on record. I went one time just to see if I
remember.
Liked. I was never really appointed.
Well, you were appointed.
You
I went for about a year and I was
jumped.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Any other comments? Otherwise, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks for the great job, Jane. All right. Unfinished business. The collection development policy final draft. It was in your packet. But this does need approval. So we'll look for a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair, can we discuss first?
No, first we'll take a motion and a second.
Make a motion, too.
Okay.
Yep, and second.
Mary made the motion and Wayne seconded. And now we'll move for discussion.
Okay.
George?
Yeah. So I still have concerns about this policy. And, you know, we had a meeting about this. We had an attorney here. We discussed all kinds of things. Clearly, we can't ban books based on the First Amendment, nor would I want to do that. However, if you look at... Minnesota Statute 617-241, it clearly defines what obscene materials are and they shouldn't be appropriate for minors. Then what is ironic about it is the state of Minnesota publishes another statute, 617.295, and it exempts certain organizations and the public library is one of them. So based on that, it would appear to me... Why are we writing a policy document that portrays there's a process that can be used when we can do nothing? It leads the public to believe something can happen if they go through this process. And if we go back and look at the statutes, we can't do anything. Now, anybody correct me if I'm wrong.
You want me to respond? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the process is built because... As we select materials, they're in the collection and selected for with the selection criteria and the lens of the time. We've seen, especially with, like, It's Perfectly Normal, the first book was added in 1994. Should we have that book on the shelf if we got the 2021 edition? That question wouldn't have been asked had these concerns not been raised. And so I think we need a process for us to look at why things end up in the collection so that we can reflect and decide whether or not something is still relevant, still meets our selection criteria, still is placed in the appropriate area of the library. And without this process, how would we do that?
So I'm not opposed to having a process articulated. I guess what I'm opposed to is having a process in there that says something is going to happen if the public comes in and says, we don't like this book. Nothing's going to happen because of the law, it's not available to us to make that decision to remove an item from the library.
What does it mean that nothing's going to happen?
what's going to happen? If we can't do it, and the law says we can't do it, what's going to happen?
The committee will look at it. It will look at whether it continues to meet selection criteria. They'll make a decision. They can appeal a response. The board can get involved later on in the process. There's no reason why nothing would happen. But I think what people want... Well, there's a difference between removing the book and nothing happening. Like, I think that's too black and white. I think there are a lot of things that could happen. We want to hear from our public. We want to be critical about how we're adding and selecting materials and keeping them on the shelf. So why wouldn't we want a process that allows for that input?
So what can happen? If I'm black and white...
I just answered that.
What?
I just answered that.
Well, I must have missed it. Can you do it one more time?
The staff will review it. Mm-hmm. They will look at current selection criteria, whether that continues to be relevant for that item. They'll respond. The person, if they don't like that response, can appeal it to the next level. If they don't like that response, the board will decide whether they want to look at it. So that's not to say nothing would happen. Whether the book gets moved or changed or removed, that's not for us to say. You're asking specifically about obscene material, but there's lots of reasons why people raise a request for reconsideration. That's not the only reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but this particular, what brought all this to us was obscene material, so I'm focusing on that. And so
I would agree with that with the books the board has heard about, but we have 8 titles that we have not responded to because we've been waiting for this process to be finalized. Because at the beginning, what I was hearing is we did not have a clear process, and we've worked really hard to create that clear process. It's spelled out step by step.
So can the process that we've articulated here, can it in fact remove a book? Or put the book in a restricted area?
I don't think we would ever put something in a restricted area because I think that would be clearly in violation of what the charge of a public library is. That would get us in hot water for sure. Would we never remove a book? What if the book is defaced? What if the complaint is the book has writing all over it? So, yes, we would probably remove that book. Is that the reason why people are looking to remove books right now? Probably not. But I am not in a position to say never. I've learned that one thing at Great River is I should never say never because it is a guarantee that we will do it in about 5 years. So that's where I'm coming in at. To say things are absolutely yes or absolutely no is just lacking foresight.
Is it true to say, based on the law, this library, this board would never be able to remove a book that is considered obscene, based on the Minnesota law?
Mr. Chair, I would just like to add, when we had the presentation by the lawyer, I think this was raised up so many times with different libraries and school boards and stuff where people had tried to make that effort, and they had been challenged on it. So it's not that we are saying that only this library will follow this policy. This is the standard that is there for all of the U.S. based on our Constitution and based on the laws from the First Amendment. So that applies to the whole of U.S. We are not talking about this library in a whole separate single vacuum.
And I agree with that. That's kind of what I started out with. As the law is clear to me in reading the statutes. State of Minnesota defines it, but then they exempt public libraries and other organizations. So that tells me this library, I'm just focusing on this library and any other library around the nation, but this library and this board can never remove a book for obscene reasons. Wouldn't that be true?
You again use the word never. And you also use the word obscene.
Yeah.
How would you know?
Based on the definition that Minnesota has articulated. But we're exempt from that. We're exempt from...
So I guess that's the question I asked back. Yeah. How would you know if that was going to be true?
Well, it doesn't matter because no matter what you define it, the state of Minnesota said public libraries are exempt from it. So if we as a library want to bring an item into the library, whether Ed thinks it's obscene, and I don't. It doesn't really matter because it's protected by law, by the First Amendment.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look at every situation specifically and then get down in the weeds, and in the end, it's the court who decides whether it's obscene.
Right, but I think...
Do you really want to get to that point?
I think we've said in the past here that in the history of the library, not one item has been removed. Is that true? Or?
True. Well, no books have ever been removed by this board. No.
That's all I wanted to discuss. I wanted to bring that up.
Mr. Chair, unless the law has changed, I'm going to be voting no on this, although I'm just going to appreciate the process has been improved. I do appreciate all the hard work that has really made the process clear, steps and the time frame and everything done. So I do appreciate that. My vote no would be just that we're not able to or choose not to address the explicit sexual material that is in our libraries in the process of collection development. And I know we're going to agree to disagree kindly. You know, that's where we're at. My understanding, if you look on the Internet, the Great River Regional Library will not check out an R-rated movie to a person under the age of 17. But we have this content in the library for anybody to check out that has explicit sexual graphic pictures in there. You saw one of those. So I don't think it's really a reach that we have, you know, could consider our process in the selection that would moderate that content so it's not crossing that line. And moving forward, obviously, we have had the discussion. I know where we're at. But if we can not allow someone under 17 to check out an R-rated movie, we don't have X-rated movies here, then why do we have X-rated books? So that's my question to you. So those are my comments. I appreciate everyone's discussion in this, and I do think we can have materials that tell stories about all of us, our minorities, and the LGBT community without sexually explicit material in it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Randy?
Again, one of the parties that came up and spoke, again, I don't believe we're here to ban a book. I mean, that was brought up, ban, move. I think that's where I'm more looking at it, and that's where I have a difficulty if this type of book here, I'm just hoping that the committee that looks and vets these books realizes how much fodder there is to some books that they'll say, okay, yep, this says recommended from 10 to 15 age group. You know what? Maybe, and can they say, you know what, this should be more in the adult section. Is that a recommendation? I don't know. As far as the committee that makes these, yeah, we can bring it all the way up, but if it comes to the board, again, like George says, we can't, you know, say, yeah, you got to ban it because everybody's definition is different. Again, the word coming into me is common sense that this book probably shouldn't be in the children's section. It should be moved, not banned. And I appreciate that because we're not here to ban current books. We're here to put them in the correct position, places, maybe, that they don't belong in some areas. That, I guess it's a comment, not a question.
Can I just clarify one thing? The image that was shown today was not from a book in the children's section. So I just want to be really clear, because that has been confused at multiple meetings multiple times. That book was not in the children's section. It is in the adult section in the nonfiction.
Thank you for that.
Yep. Mr. Chair, just a quick comment as well, is that when we don't allow kids to check out the R-rated movies, we're not banning or censoring. It's just appropriate. It's just age appropriateness is what we're looking at.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mr. Chair, I would... Were you pointing to me?
Okay. Yep, I was pointing to you.
Sorry. I would just like to say that it has been really heartening to hear from so many members of the community responding through emailing the whole board, and expressing their views, whether they are for or against whatever opinion. But I think this is a topic that has strong opinions on both sides. There's a lot of people who feel very strongly that as a public library, our job and our function is to provide for everybody in the community, even if there is one single member who uses this library and has a special requirement. It is part of our duty as a public library to cater for that. And then there is the other group that feels very strongly. I think we've had a very good discourse with the public in this, hearing from a lot of people about what their thoughts are. And I think, to my mind, it seems to me that there is as much discourse about banning or moving books as there is support for please make sure you do not do anything that restricts anybody's access to any kind of material at a public library. So I really think the public has really done a very good job. And I really want to thank the people who spent time sending emails after emails to all of us to just let us know what they think.
Okay. Thank you for that. Well said, Jerry. Well said. Anybody else want to comment before I call the question? Don't want to eliminate anybody from commenting. Okay, seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay. Okay.
Motion carries.
So it's Tina and George were the only two opposed. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I think so. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hand vote.
On a hand vote?
Well, I mean, if I've got confirmation from them, I'm okay with it if everyone else, if the remaining board members.
All right. Motion carries. Mm-hmm. Anything under the others?
No.
Okay. Under new business, St. Michael hour adjustment on page 81.
This is part of our library development plan. We're looking to bump the St. Michael open hours by one. It'll put them in the same category as Elk River and Buffalo, which seems appropriate when looking at stats. And this was already approved as part of the budget, so this is an information-only piece, just to let you know that it's happening, and they're going to be adding the hour to Saturday, I believe. Is that right, Jenna? Yes. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any questions to Karen about that? Another library, I think somebody brought it up, said it well, that the city, the library is growing by leaps and bounds. Executive director's evaluation.
We did that as part of the personnel.
We did that under
meeting.
That.
Yeah.
So, okay. We got that one covered. Farewell to departing members. We have some members that are going to depart from us. They served out their terms on this board. And I guess Karen, myself, would like to recognize them.
Yeah. So, these are the people who are on the board when I got hired as director.
Yeah.
I'm really sad.
Want them to come forward? Do we want them to come up?
Yeah. Or were we going to take pictures, Brianne? Or how did you?
Right
here. Oh, yeah.
Just make sure it's in the front page of the St. Cloud Times.
Yeah. They have done their time.
Randy Lyncher and Mary Everly. Please come up, please.
No.
We have to go up there.
No.
Beauty. Make sure you take your name tag so we know who you are.
Who's good? They sat next to each other.
I know.
Kind of banter.
Maybe for Brina.
Makes you look dizzy.
Or
be
there, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were really good. You really asked the right questions. So,
thank
Karen?
You. Mary served on our fund development committee. She did some time on the CMLE board. And she's just been, I'm going to miss her Friday phone calls. So.
I think yeah. She'll call.
For those of you that don't know, when it comes to county commissioners, Randy is my closest commissioner as far as miles go. that I have. It's a bit closer than my counterparts in Benton County. We've known each other since for a long, long time. High school years.
Oh, oh, geez. Oh.
Congratulations. Great at negotiating, yeah. So we're looking for a good, hard negotiator in our next.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not going to be able to replace Randy. Okay. We might have to come back.
Well, just 1 year and he can come back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, you just kind of cut it all out.
Is there anything else that you need to discuss? Okay, open board. Anybody want to have any comments or anything?
I'll make a comment.
Okay.
Again, I appreciate being on the serving on this board. We've gone through a lot of processes with Karen, new board members throughout the years. I'm not going to get cheered up, and this is one of my favorite boards. It really is. It's just changed over the years. We have a lot more board members that say more things and do more things, and again, I appreciate that working with all of you. So again, keep up the good work, so thank you.
Yeah, and Randy's not just saying that because I spoke to one of his fellow commissioners from Morrison County, and they said Randy truly enjoys the library board. We know you do enjoy it.
Mr. Chair, I would just like to thank everyone for coming tonight and participating. It's a tough topic, and I also just want to thank you all for being patient with me. I am new to the board, and I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I just want to thank Randy and Mary. Our community members are just, commissioners are good too, but commissioners, that's we have to be here.
Yeah.
Our community members are just very strong right now, and I'm very, very proud of my Sherburne community members and the time that Jane has put on this, and just want to thank Mary so much for your service. Yeah.
It's been my pleasure, really. Most of it, anyway.
And from the standpoint of the board, we may have a person or two that's going to depart that we don't know about at this time because Stearns County has to rescind one of its members and Wright County will get another person to this board. And as we go into January, all the county boards, they look at appointing who they're going to appoint. And it depends on your committee structures and your workload and everything else. So, it's not a given that all county commissioners come back all the time.
Mm-hmm. I know. You people have come and gone.
Is he going to come and speak at Spanish?
We've seen a few come.
Okay. Next meeting, January 16th.
Yep. We'll have at least 3 new board members, but probably more like 4 or 5.
Okay. And we will elect a new chair.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, I adjourn.